I'm Robin Miller Brecker.
And I'm Karen Lenzer. Welcome to Seeking Center, the podcast.
Join us each week as we have the conversations and weed through the spiritual and holistic clutter for you. We'll boil it down to what you need to know now.
We're all about total wellness, which to us means building a healthy life on a physical, mental, and spiritual level. We'll talk to the trailblazers who will introduce you to the practices, products, and experiences that may be just what you need to hear about to transform your life.
If you're listening to this, it's no accident. Think of this as your seeking center and your place to seek your center. And for the best wellness and spiritual practitioners, experts, products, experiences, and inspo, visit theseekingcenter.com. As Karen and I have been plotting our upcoming podcast episodes, we've been wanting to share the stories of seekers like ourselves that have been at a crossroads and have had their lives transformed by experiences that can't necessarily be explained. These experiences have reconnected them to themselves at a soul level. They've revealed purpose and meaning into this life's journey so far. They've shown them their own power and the magic that lives within each of them and the connection we have with each other. In the near future, Karen and I are planning on taking you on journeys with people at a crossroads in their lives who are at the beginning, before everything changes. For today, though, we wanted to talk to someone who has been at the crossroads and has had their life transformed, even discovering their own intuitive abilities. And we didn't have to go far. We're excited to introduce you to one of our favorite people in the world and Seeking Center devotee, my soulmate and husband, Jeff Brecker. As a career, Jeff has built, scaled, and led award-winning advertising, production, marketing, and experiential agencies over the past 25 years. He specializes in design, content, technology, and production, along with operations and structure. If you've ever drank a bubbly, been in the lobby at the Cosmopolitan in Las Vegas, or are old enough to remember the "What's Up" campaign, you've experienced Jeff's work. He's brilliant, hilarious, forward-thinking, and dare I say, deep, as well as adorable. Jeff is my partner in all things, and he's a seeker like you and me. We're excited for you to meet him and have a juicy conversation. Hi, Jeff.
Hi, hello. Jeff.
As I was reading that, I also would love Karen and Jeff to talk about their connection before Karen and I even met.
This is true, Karen. I was running a company called Digital Kitchen, and I believe one of our largest clients at the time were run out of the LA office.
Yep. I could not believe it when Robin and I
This is one of the crazy things.
But we didn't realize this until you came to Chicago.
That's right.
And we were talking about it in our house when we were doing that initial pilot.
That's right. And it's funny, I should have put two and two together because of the Chicago connection. So Digital Kitchen had started an LA office for AT&T when I worked there. And we had started our own television channel. We had Barker channels, if anybody remembers what those are, but they're basically like little advertising channels. And we were making real TV shows.
Yes. Sundance, right?
Yep. Oh my gosh. Yes. It's just so weird how the serendipity of all of that came together. But we never met in person.
We had never met, no.
But what the craziest part is, Jeff would come home sometimes when he was working at Digital Kitchen, and he would be talking about the LA team and what they were working on with AT&T.
That crazy plug client that they had, Karen Lenzer.
Crazy.
Crazy. Thankfully, never said anything bad. He was always positive, whatever he was talking about. But it came up a lot and how AT&T was such a big part of that office. And so for it to come up years later, because Digital Kitchen, it's not like it was a huge company. It was a small boutique agency.
Yeah, we were under 100 people.
The whole thing, I had to bring that up before we even get going, because it shows you the synchronicities that continue in our lives together. I'm so glad that we can also tell people about that too.
And that you never know. That's the thing too. Never know how closely connected you are with other people until you dig a little bit deeper. And isn't it fun when you can find those connections like that?
I would say, I'm sure you're probably going to bring this up. My favorite game is when I meet someone, I try to find at least one person they know, and I can do it anywhere with anything. For example, this was a few years back, but a parent of one of Bella's friend, and the woman's like, "There's no way you're ever going to know anybody that I know." And then I'm like, "Where are you from?" And she's like, "A small town in Delaware called Rehoboth." And then I dropped this name, and she was like one of my best friends in high school. I was like, I stood up in their wedding.
Oh my God.
And she's at that wedding. She married a Navy SEAL. They were all Navy SEALs. I'm like, they were all Navy SEALs except for one person. That one person was
Steph Brecker.
Steph Brecker.
I love that. I think that we should all take up that challenge and do that.
It's my favorite.
And amongst our friends, it's 6 degrees of Jeff Brecker rather than Kevin Bacon. You can always relate something back to Jeff in some way. And we're going to get into this because Jeff really does have his own unique seeking journey that now blends in with ours. And he's really become another part of our team in many ways. He's the biggest cheerleader. So let's start by talking about your seeking journey. Let's go back in time.
Little Jeff Brecker. I would say little Jeff Brecker, who's still in my mind, I'm still that person. For me, growing up, I would say I loved anything that was mysterious. Anything that had the essence of intrigue. I would go to the library and take out books on UFOs and the pyramids and Bigfoot and the Bermuda Triangle. I would watch reruns of a show called In Search Of. I was desperately always looking for answers to the mysteries of the world. When I saw Raiders of the Lost Ark and all the Indiana Jones movies, I was like, that's what I want to be. I want to be someone out there on an adventure answering crazy historical mysteries from years ago where they had all this extra knowledge that we had lost. I actually wanted to be an archaeologist, and I was an archaeology and anthropology major when I went to college, thinking that was going to be my life journey. I was going to go out there and be that person, be that archaeological digger that found some of the most interesting answers to life's hardest questions.
I love that you're saying this because you're reminding me I used to do that too. My grandmother used to get the National Geographic magazines. Remember? They were like beautiful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I had piles of them in my bedroom.
And I just would go to her house and I would dig through that. But I always looked for the ancient civilizations, the pyramid stuff. I'm getting the goosebumps actually saying this. It just brings that all back to me. I wonder if we're all related.
Yeah. No, we are. You're Jeff's grandmother in several lives.
Yeah. Childhood explorer curiosity. What was that? How did that happen?
For me, it's being raised within the Jewish faith. You're told stories. And that was always about, what do these stories mean? Mm-hmm. It's really about, what are they trying to tell us? Are there hidden things in those stories? And then you start learning about Christianity and all these other religions that were born out of that, and the Knights Templar, and what are they trying to hide, and all of these artifacts that throughout all of history, having those artifacts would give you power and an understanding of why you're here, right? It's really all about trying to find out the reason of why you're here.
I think some of it too is, as a child, you're remembering things and you haven't lost those deep memories. And so inspired by the shows, whatever it is, whatever visual that you can find, and it helps you remember those past lives.
1,000%. Yes.
And the other piece was even trying to find that information. Now you pull up your phone and you can get anything you need, whether it's true or not. But before, you had to go into the library and it had that smell and you had to talk to people. And half the time when you're speaking to people, they have a story and they want to send you in a different direction and they want to give you a different book. And it's weaving through all of those pieces and having the time to even sit down and think. So you would read a book, you would have a conversation, you would think about that versus moving on to the next, moving on to the next, moving on to the next, moving on to the next. You actually had time to digest and really dig into what that meant and where that was looking to take you, which was super interesting.
That is so good. You just triggered something in me. It is that taking the time to let it just sink in and absorb and listening for where to go to next. We don't do that. You're so right.
Even with television, I remember The X-Files came out and it was in that same vein. It was a little more network TV, but it would come out and then that whole week you would be discussing what that meant. What were they chasing? What did that look like? Eventually that led to Lost. And when Lost came out, that series, it was really about, what are they discovering? What are the hints? What are the clues? What are these things? It's about humanity and their path towards something and everybody's interconnectivity within that and their past lives before they got to the island, who they were and all those different pieces. And then you would have a whole week to dissect it and discuss it with people. You weren't binging it. You weren't watching one right after the other. That's what was discussed for the next week until the episode came, which is something that I miss from a consumption of content perspective these days. Right now, it's just an endless scroll.
Yeah, TikToks and now we've almost become addicted in that way to it. So I love that you're reminding us of that time, because now when we are watching a series and we binge it in a day, a few days, whatever it is, even within a week, it doesn't resonate or stay with you as a lot of the other things did. Because I think of what you're talking about, the time in between, it's always the space between, right? In anything we do, that if you can take it and really use the time to think about it thoroughly and discuss it with others. It's so good.
It's like you don't even have time to make up your own mind about something anymore or form your own opinion anymore, because all of these images and ideas and conversations are constantly being thrust upon you. And it's like you have to go fast, right? You have to respond fast or share fast or whatever it is. And you're right. There is no time for you to just let it absorb and make up your own mind about what you think about it. Oh, it's so good.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that you wanted to be an anthropologist and archaeologist for many reasons, but most importantly, because I met you in Anthropology 101.
Yes. Oh my gosh, are you kidding me? That is fantastic.
And it sounded interesting to me. I didn't know much about anthropology, but I knew I was also interested in why we were here. And I thought maybe that could give me some answers or lead me down a path. Although I knew I wanted to work for Oprah before I even wrote my essay to get into school. However, I thought this could be helpful. And what I didn't realize is when I walked into that classroom on that first day and I looked over and I saw this cute boy with a mullet, the cutest dimples, and I heard this whisper that I had never paid attention to before. And it said, that boy is going to play an important role in your life. And I really looked around, like, where did that come from? And I'm sure I've had that voice in my head, but I'd never paid attention to it to that day. I thought it was the weirdest thing. And you started throwing notes at me in that classroom. And one thing led to another. And here we are many years later.
Amazing. How long ago was that, by the way?
It was 1994. I think it was January of 1994.
So second semester.
Wow.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing. It's a long time.
It's a long time, right? Yeah.
Only 30 years.
Yeah. It's been 30 years.
So tell us, and Jeff, what led you from anthropology into the advertising world?
Yeah. Sure, you were going to be Indiana Jones.
I was going to be Indiana Jones.
You went Don Draper style. What happened?
I started realizing the logistics of being an anthropologist meant sitting in sand dunes for years with a toothbrush, just brushing off like a little piece of sand and not really jumping on airplanes and flying around the world and exploring hidden caverns. But I was still really obsessed with the human story and human behavior. And I thought, what's really awesome is that there has to be a merger between what I want to do and being able to make some money and do something interesting and create content around with that. So that path took me to what's the business? What's the storytelling? What's the creative? How does that all come together? And at the time it was, I thought, marketing, advertising. You had to join the School of Journalism. So it was really about writing and telling stories and understanding humanity in a way that you're helping clients and brands come to life. The funniest thing is I actually wrote a thesis. I was taking a graduate class, how the internet was going to change advertising forever. I put a lot of thought into it. I got a B and the teacher told me that it was unrealistic because the internet was not going to do any such thing. About 15 years ago, I found that paper, resent it and submitted it and asked if I could get it regraded. I never heard back from that. I sent Professor Hitchin that and she never wrote back to me if she's listening. But anyway, it led me to that. And what was interesting to me was now we're putting on a technology spin because I had a modem in school. I was online, AOL, CompuServe. And I thought this is a super interesting way of telling stories. And the merger of a new type of platform, a new type of network, a new type of storytelling that in my mind I thought was going to be how humanity connected a bit differently than how archaeologists look how it connected, but it was all still intertwined because ultimately it was about storytelling and self-realization and all those things. And one thing led to another and I was in the right place at the right time, worked at a few different internet companies before the initial bubble that burst and went to work at a advertising agency on Madison Avenue to help them build out their initial, what they called their digital offering, and help clients who they were doing TV spots for, what it meant for them to be online. What did creating a website mean for them? What did online advertising mean for them? And I did that at a few different ad agencies. And to me, it was always the most interesting interaction and integration between what little Jeff wanted to do and what older, more responsible Jeff wanted to do, while creating interesting, cool content across the board on it.
So interesting. Just listening to your story and thinking about Robin's story too, how you were both in places and doing work that was really innovative and innovating the way people consume stories and told stories, really. So I find that really interesting that even though Robin went to Noggin and you went down the advertising path, it was still very similar in the sense that you were at the forefront of how we're all consuming that content today.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing.
And it was actually really cool at that time for Jeff and I to be together in that very beginning of the internet for public consumption, and we could lean on each other. And because both of us at that time, Noggin was the first on-air online network. And as Jeff was saying, he was integrating TV and the internet as well. And so we could both actually talk about that when we were home together. Like, how do we do this? And for me, it was with children's television at that time. And with Jeff, it was different brands. It was definitely on purpose. And then your wife got her dream job with Oprah. And I bring that up because that introduced this whole other aspect of understanding who we are, because it really did consume my life 24/7 and yours.
But did you guys, because I remember so often you've said, Robin, when you were younger, your inspiration from Oprah was such a connector to your mom and your sister at a time when it was really difficult in your life. Did working, when you went for that first job with Oprah and all of the people that you saw and met during the course of that time, did you guys talk about that together? I'd love to hear about how that evolved.
For me, it's funny. My Oprah experience was a little different. I'm from Baltimore. I knew Oprah as a local broadcaster in Baltimore. That's where she got her start. That's where she met Gail, I believe, too. So for me, it was really interesting. I wasn't, like a lot of people were really into Oprah. That just wasn't what I was consuming at the time. Then when Robin started working there, I really got super interested in everything. Like, I would leave work and I would go pick Robin up, and sometimes I'd have to go inside and I'd be like, okay, who is this Dr. Phil? Every one of these now really well-known people that came out of that show would be with Robin at her desk, figuring out how our audience is going to be able to engage with me in a different way than not only watching the show. So I got to see in real time all of these different people, whether it was Nate Berkus, whether it was Dr. Oz, Dr. Phil, all these people engage digitally. And it was like, my mind was unlocked, even going back to my job saying, this is the way to do it. You're not speaking to people the way that TV does. You're having a conversation with them in real time. And these were live chats, all that. And then I saw when Oprah gave Robin the challenge of, we're going to have a live book club streamed on the internet, and it's going to be with Eckhart Tolle, and we're going to do that every week. And Robin was 7 months pregnant. And it was, in my mind, like a life-changing opportunity for everybody involved. So I'm reading A New Earth. I'm watching it come together in a way that it's never come together, like literally took down the internet. I don't remember any other digital experience taking down the internet the way that this book club did. And it was really the first time outside of a bunch of these tours and live events that the public was able to truly interact with Oprah and a guest. And it was around one of the most important subjects of being present and now and understanding who you are. And that book, I guess it's also, we were bringing a miracle baby into the world with Bella. Everything was changing. So that in itself was my experience with Oprah. It wasn't the 1980s, 1990s watching TV with my family. It was watching these experts engage and change the world in real time using the internet in a way that it's never been done before.
Wow. Did you read A New Earth?
Yes, I have to. I read A New Earth. I had to read The Secret. Every book that came home was put on my bedside and was consumed.
He's pretty versed in Marianne Williamson and Gary Zukav and
Brene Brown.
And
I was about to say, you're going to leave Brene Brown off this thing.
Because I did. I ended up having to work with everyone and we would talk about it. And if I felt it was important, I wanted Jeff to know it too. And thankfully, he was open to all of it.
I was just going to say, I think there's a lot of, I don't want to generalize by saying men, husbands, but I think there's a lot of men who might have really resisted that and not been open to seeing what was there. I think you did have an advantage in actually seeing some of these people and having this tangible content that you could start to see and be inspired by. But the fact that you were willing to seek deeper than just that surface, I think says a lot.
And I was going to say in something like Jeff brought up Eckhart Tolle and A New Earth and the book, The Secret, we actually would take principles, let's say from The Secret. And that's really, we feel a big reason Bella came into the world. I think she was supposed to and all of that. And I think from our perspective, because it took so long to have her. And as Jeff said, for us, she was one of our miracles. We used all of the manifesting exercises from that book and she came into the world. And so we saw that. And then with the New Earth, that practice of being present changes your whole perspective on life. It changed ours. We, to this day, practice presence as much as we can. And there were other books along the same lines. We saw it work, is my point. It actually really worked.
I just have to also compliment you guys because there's such a power, as we've talked about so often. It's one thing when you're experiencing it on your own, but if you have someone close to you, friend, family member, whatever, that you can chew on it with and debate it with and then see tangible reality happen as a result of that. There's so much energy and power in that. So there's a lot of magic between you two anyway, but I think just seeing how that's been able to propel you together on your own seeking journey, but also as a couple, as partners, to really deepen that relationship. It's not common. It's rare these days.
And what I will say is the one time that there was a healthy dose of skepticism.
Ooh, let's talk about this.
Is when I came home and I had met Rebecca Rosen, who's a spiritual medium and intuitive. And I experienced a large group reading with her. And it was, for me, it's one of the moments that changed my life forever. And I write about it in an article on Oprah.com called The Night a Medium Changed My Life. And when I came home from that, here's Jeff, as you all are hearing, he's super open. He's really interested in understanding why we're here and really what happens to us when we die. And yet there was this look, he has a look on his face. It was like a very much, sure, okay. And can you explain what I think changed for you after that moment? I came home and I'm like, I just talked to my dad who died in 1987 and I couldn't get over it. And I wanted more, right? Because I just had this very short reading within the large group reading. And it was very unlike me to see Jeff so skeptical. But can you explain then what happened, your perspective, but then also what changed?
My perspective was the one thing that I want to believe, right? That poster from X-Files, I want to believe, but I had never really seen it or experienced it. All I've seen were the frauds. I'd seen the psychic neon in the window, Miss Cleo, all of the things that probably dirtied the industry in a way that it never hit me that way. And one of the things that she said was he's going to do something with electronics to prove to the skeptics. And I was like, okay, whatever. And then we had gone out. It was Robin, her sister Lauren, and myself. We came back in from a night out.
We were all sitting in our little family room area. We're sitting on the couch watching TV. Our phones, it was actually, this was 14 years ago. And
this was like the first iteration of the iPhone.
Right. Our phone use at this time, it's 14 years ago. You didn't really have your phone like attached to your hand like you do now.
It wasn't an app. It was like there were no apps on your phone.
And we put our phones down on the counter and we didn't care. Do you know what I mean? We had our ringers on. If someone was going to call us, it was really late anyway. To Jeff's point, there was no apps. We weren't scrolling through things. We put our phone down We were sitting down.
And all of a sudden, out of nowhere, the phones just start calling each other. There was no reason to have it happen. It was the oddest thing. And all of a sudden, I'm like, maybe.
Yeah, because it said my phone calling my sister's phone and my sister's phone calling my phone at the same time.
And there was no reason for it.
And there was like no one near the phone.
Oh, no, it was connected to the phone.
Yeah, there was it made literally no sense.
So I was like, okay. And then I don't know if it was the following day, but all of a sudden Bella was with her nanny. And
out of nowhere started saying my dad's name. And she wouldn't have heard us talking about my dad's. And she started saying Grandpa Bobby to our nanny. And our nanny knew my dad's name. And she was freaked out. And so she called me on my phone. And the way that the message came through, it was that it came over my voicemail. So you can hear my outgoing message and she's with Bella and she's like, Bella, can you say what you're saying to me? And it's the eeriest thing. It was Bella saying with like static and it was like Bobby, Grandpa Bobby. It was the craziest, all in the same week.
Gotcha.
So needless to say, I went to a reading.
Needless to say.
I was like, fine. I went to a reading. She gave me a good reading. It was spot on. And I started believing that this type of work is real. And there are people out there that have this power and ability to not only speak to souls in other dimensions, but be able to actually decipher what they're saying and give messages. And it wasn't about them telling me the answers of the world. They weren't giving me the lottery numbers. They weren't telling me not to get on a boat because it's going to sink. Like, it wasn't like that. It was more of a validation that they aren't gone forever. It's a validation that your energy has moved on to somewhere else. And that we're still connected and we still can stay connected.
You love to tell the story about being out with our really good friend, Lisa Nitzkin, who is also a spiritual medium. And
yeah,
I thought that was really life-changing for you.
Yeah. So I had seen Rebecca Rosen twice. She gave me a high-level reading, but I never, from a loss perspective, I never thought that I had lost. Like, all my grandparents passed away before I was 8 years old. I don't really remember any of them. Both my parents are still alive. I don't have any siblings. And we were out with Lisa one night and she's like, I've never given you a reading. Do you want one? I was like, if you want to give me one, fine. I don't even know what you're going to say. We were at dinner, had some wine. She's like, it'll be fun, right? Like, most people don't go to a psychic medium to like for fun. But I'm like in the situation where I'm like, she's a friend of mine. She's like, you don't ever ask me for this. I'm just doing it because what the heck? So she's like, did you lose someone that was your age? And she's like, he was about 2 years older than you. And I'm like, yeah, my cousin Adam. And then she's like, that's who it is. And then she starts giving me this reading that to me at first, I was like, yeah, this doesn't really sound like Adam. He was your champion. He cheered you on. And I'm like, no, not really. I'm like, and then she's like, giving me all these things. She said, this is what I'm interpreting. I'm like, do me a favor. Tell me exactly what he's saying. She goes, he's singing, we are the champions and hail to the victors. So I'm assuming he's your champion and he wants you to be victorious. I'm like, that's not what he's saying. Every time Michigan beat Wisconsin in the sport, he would call and sing, we are the champions and hail to the victors, which is the Michigan fight song, on my voicemail. And Wisconsin had just lost to Michigan in whatever sport they were playing at the time. He's laughing now. I go, so you're telling me. He could tell me anything in the world, but what he's telling me, he's pimping me from across the universe to tell me that Michigan's better than Wisconsin. She's like laughing. That's it. And I'm like, that's a perfect example to me of validation that A, she would never know that I had lost him. B, she would never know that he would do this. And I'm like, nobody, unless it's real, no one would know. I go, and it's not like he's giving me validation on anything other than the fact that he's who he is. He's still connected with me. He's still with me all the time. And that in itself completely changed my perspective of, you don't really need to be worried about death. You don't really need to be sad about losing someone. Like, they're there. They're always going to be there. And there are people that can communicate if you want with them. And it's, you talk about a guy, girl thing, like that's such a guy thing to do, is like, you could tell them anything. I love you. I miss you. Tell my family X, Y, and Z. But instead he's, you know what? I'm going to tell him that Michigan's better than Wisconsin.
And if you haven't noticed, Jeff and I went to the University of Wisconsin, Madison.
Went to
the
University of Wisconsin. And he went to Michigan. There was a very strong rivalry between them. But I tell that story. I'm like, to me, those are the types of conversations you want to have with these people. Not the fact of you need to be in this spot at this time and you will receive a pot of gold. That's not what this is about.
Because the healing that can come even from that for you cannot really be measured, I think.
No, it can't, right? It alleviates one of life's greatest worries, is what happens when I die, or I'm worried about death, or I'm worried something bad happened to someone who I loved who passed away. Like all of these things that like you don't have true definitive answers on all of a sudden become not worries, but they become soothing to your soul to understand that and believe in it.
Yeah, it's such an aha moment that I think for so many, that is the unlocking. That experience unlocks you, because then all of a sudden you start to say, oh my gosh, what else is there out there that I don't know about? What other things am I missing that can help me really understand why I'm here and what I don't know? That I think in my experience was like, oh my gosh, I was lucky when I was young. I had an astrology reading as a 12-year-old. So I was opened, I think, from almost the beginning of my life to the possibilities of all of that. But I think for so many people that we've met and worked with, that is the experience that completely shifts their belief in anything, because then they know, like you said, Jeff, like we're always connected to our loved ones. We don't die when we die, all of those things. And it does open yourself up to the possibilities of so much more.
Yeah. And we're not saying that you don't miss them. It doesn't mean you don't miss them physically in this lifetime, but it changes your whole perspective on life.
And it can reconnect you with them again. It's not
like that's right. That's
right. You can reach out to them and talk to them and look for the signs that they send you.
And when I grew up, I had tarot cards and a Ouija board and all those things. But it was, I don't want to say parlor tricks, but it was more about like the fun of it and the interest of it than the true power of what it really could be or feel, and the changes and the things that could be manifested through that, which are key.
Yeah. And it makes me think too, Karen, to what you were saying before, that interest in those things, which I know the three of us have all had when we were younger, to me, it is most likely then a remembering, but not having the understanding in this lifetime of the power, to your point, Jeff. Like we're just too young. We don't get it. And then as you grow, you can begin to understand that those are tools. Those are serious tools. They can be fun too, but they can actually be serious tools, which actually leads to talking about, that was actually all around 2010, fast forwarding to 2018, when I personally was at a crossroads in my own life. And it's right around the time I met Karen too. And we've talked about our story before. And I was trying to figure out if this project with Karen that was for Oprah and Discovery didn't go through, what was I going to do? Because I knew it was time for me to make a change. I knew at the depths of my soul, I had to make a change. I had everything else that was going so well in my life. I have you and I have Bella and we live in an amazing community. And yet I just felt like my soul was dying. So I used all my spiritual tools, right? And a lot of them just came into my path. I know now very much on purpose, divine timing and all of that. And you saw how experiencing these different modalities and the plan that I was able to put together for myself and then realize that was going to be part of my life's purpose, is being able to show others what is out there, what is possible, and how you can do this yourself. And Karen and I are here to help. That's part of why we're here. We are your soul BFFs, your spiritual BFFs. And you happen to be my partner in all things in this lifetime and many others. So fast forward, you or yourselves were at a crossroads, but we're open. And because of your now belief in something greater and that we don't really die and all of that, you were like, okay, I need your help too, because I'm at a crossroads. So can you talk about that?
Yeah. So I watched you go through it. I was going through a similar thing where opportunities were coming into my life and I had been at the same job for over 6 years. And the question was, do I stay? Do I go somewhere else? Do I do something completely different? There were all these opportunities on the table trying to figure out what that looked like. So I was gifted a reading with Stevie, who we all know and love, who's on this every so often and does astrology readings for you in the newsletter that comes out every week. And I wasn't sure what I was going to get. So I sent her all the information. I hadn't really heard Robin's. And when I got on the phone with her, it was like insane how she knew who I was, not from like my outgoing personality, but like the thoughts that were in my head based on my past, present, and future and where I was born, when I was born. And it cracked me open in a way where there's things that you don't necessarily believe about yourself, or whether it's self-doubt or something that's inside you that you only say to yourself, that she was very, I'm not going to say scientifically, because she was incredibly empathetic to understanding and reading me, but giving me specific insight to who I was, why I was where, what's happening currently, where I'm going to go, and all the surrounding factors, to the point where I was like, it's not just speaking to mediums that can help you, but now there's other modalities. And that one discussion was so on point with everything that I literally started gifting it to everybody I knew. I must have given at least 10 of those readings to people as birthday presents, gift, because to me, anybody that came to me that was confused of what they wanted to do or sad about something, and they weren't necessarily ready to start talking to psychic mediums, I was like, hey, would you be willing to do X? All you need to do is give where you were born, time, date, and then you can have a conversation with this person. And every single person she talked to, it changed their lives. It was incredible. And that just kicked off, okay, what's next? So literally, I just ran like through every single person that Robin had met with. I'm like, I'm in past life regressions with Michelle, shamanic readings. And that was work, right? It wasn't just a reading. It was, you got, was it 5 or 6 weeks of intense shaman work that really was the basis to help me make my next life change. It was when I was leaving the agency life and going to a brand. And that was with Cheryl Netsky.
Energy alchemy teacher that practices shamanic energy work.
There you go. That's what it was. And we did the work. And it was very intense, informative, and helpful, and really helped me move from one phase of my life into the next. And it didn't stop. So now anytime I went anywhere, whether I was out with my friends or at work, and this came up, it was always a topic of conversation for me, because there were so many positive results for me. I don't know how it couldn't change the world for everybody else. And I was watching what Robin, you, and Karen were doing, and listening to all the podcasts and reading all the newsletters. And for me, it was like life-changing. And even when things didn't go well, there was like, why isn't it going well, right? Is there a reason? Is there something else? Is there something within me? Do I need energy cleansed? What is it that can help me? And now I'm here. I went to Energy Muse. I got bracelets. I have the necklaces. I'm all in on all of those things. And almost every single person that I send people to say the same thing, how it's really helped them and grounded them. So thank you for all the work you're doing as well.
Oh, this is such a magical conversation. I'm so glad I'm part of it, first of all, just to hear the journey and the openness in which you have followed along the path. It's, you're still the curiosity explorer that you were as little Jeff, which is so incredible. But I'm also thinking too how it just reinforces in my mind how these experiences, so many people seek their whole lives to try to figure out why they're here. And there are so many opportunities, even the astrology, to get a blueprint of exactly the intention that you've had. And when you're connected with that blueprint, how it just opens you to knowing where to seek even further. It's like it gives you you a pathway to follow versus being lost and having no idea where to go. Those paths, those charts, those blueprints are there for you and are there to help guide you if you know where to look for them, and gives you those tools. So yes, okay, now I can make a career change, or now I can make a move somewhere else. And then when you hit a wall, it opens you up to all the other tools that can help you when those come. And the way you've outlined your story, Jeff, I think is going to inspire a lot of people.
And can I also add that, as Karen said, thank you, because I do think people can relate in many ways to what you're talking about and the way that you're expressing it. I also want to mention that in many of the different experiences that you've had and the practitioners that you've worked with, they talk about how you yourself have abilities. And so can you just talk a little bit about how that has played out in these recent years?
I've always felt like there are certain things that I know or can do that I was able to lean in on. Like, I was always able to control my dreams and even create the dreams that I want to dream in that night and do certain things. And I also have the ability, it's very weird, even with people that I've never met before, I can sense a specific person's energy in a large group of people and find them. I'm the person where even if you're like walking through an airport, I can literally go, that's a famous person right there. And I say the actor's name and all I saw was like their ear. I have this weird sense of being able to recognize energy and know them if I'm familiar with them and pull them out of, at CES once, very oddly, and they couldn't believe that I did that. I literally tapped someone on the shoulder and I said, are you blah, blah, blah. I'm Jeff Brecker. And they were like, how do you know who I am? I'm like, long story, but I want to introduce myself. And every healer or practitioner that I met with said I have some sort of intuitive power. So one time we were all sitting around, we were in South Carolina. It was just Robin, myself, and her mom. And we were like, let's meditate and see what comes to us and focus. And in my meditation, I literally was sitting around a campfire looking at Bella, who was at camp, by the way. She was wearing a blue shirt. She was reading something and she had what looked like bruises all over her legs. And I literally describe it to the T of what I'm seeing and why I'm seeing it. And Robin's like, I hear what you're saying, Jeff, but there are a bunch of things with what you're seeing that are, I know, factually are incorrect. One, there's no campfire tonight. Those are Wednesdays. This was a Tuesday. She doesn't have any blue shirts because everything she has is either white or red because that's the color. We know what she has. And it's weird that she would have bruises all over her legs. And I'm like, and you can't really communicate with your kids because they're at camp 1,500 miles away. The next day, the pictures from the day before come out and Bella is literally standing around a campfire, reading something, wearing a blue shirt with what looks like bruises all over her legs.
Wow.
And I'm like, oh my gosh, I actually can put myself where other people are and find them and see what's going on and happening. We call the camp immediately to find out what's wrong with her legs. She had taken temporary tattoos and put temporary tattoos all over her legs. And from the pictures, they look like bruises, but they were like butterflies and unicorns and other stuff.
Wow. And it was a special money that night. They gave everybody blue shirts.
That's right.
Her shirt. No, it wasn't.
It was not her shirt.
And so Jeff knew then what that's called, for those listening, is called remote viewing. And my teacher who taught me that is our friend Lisa. And we called Lisa right away and said, Jeff's like a really incredible remote viewer. And so now we joke, but we have Jeff do that, especially when we're trying to find something. We're not
all things that are missing.
That's like, good to know, Jeff.
Yes. We all have the ability, I think, is also the point here. Jeff has been told that because I do think he has a heightened sense of it. It's more developed than most just without any practicing. And now when he does do it and he needs to practice even more, he's a really incredible remote viewer. That's its own gift, just like Karen has hers and I have mine. We are all a little better at one of these things than another. And that's definitely yours. In addition to your superpower of also just knowing everybody and being connected to everybody, which I think goes back to this idea that you can be in large groups and sense someone's energy. So there's something to all of that, because it's not even just celebrities. It's really, you somehow can know someone who was friends with so, and somehow that person, it's like almost like they stand out to you. It's basically you're seeing their energy, you're feeling their energy, and they're attracted to you. That's the other part of it. It's like your energy and their energy collide. And
Jimmy at
oh my goodness. Yes, we were at a party at Oprah's house, actually. And you tell the story.
There's so much about that event. Quick story was, Robin goes up to Marianne Williamson because they were talking, and there's a gentleman next to me, and he goes, "We need to be friends. What's your phone number?" And I give him my phone number, and we just start hitting it off. And we're just talking about everything from the event and him living here. We were in California, and him meeting people and what he does. And then he sent me a note the next day with a picture of the sunrise, and it was so nice to meet me, and he wishes me the best, and he comes to Chicago, and he'll look me up. And then, like, on my birthday, and I didn't even give him my birthday, all of a sudden he sends me a note wishing me a happy birthday. He would send me notes, like, all the time, like, "I've been thinking about you. Here's a song that I just produced." And it was one of the most, like, surreal experiences, where all of a sudden I have, like, this best friend that I had just met. Then, like, a whole story comes out about this guy 5 years later.
Yeah. By Maria Shriver.
By Maria Shriver, saying that, I don't know whether it's once a week or how he does this, but he likes to make good friends of people whose energy he senses and stay connected with them, because he thinks that we're all interconnected and we need to, the more of a connection we make, the better. And he literally, out of, when I tell you I was the least connected person in this entire party, and he came to me, and I was the connection he made that day.
I love that.
This man, Jimmy, has made it his mission to be friends with as many people, but, like, meaningful friend. He wants to make a difference in people's lives. And so he actually created a one-man show around it. It was that Maria Shriver wrote about in her Sunday paper. And it was pretty unbelievable, because it was also validating for Jeff. And also, it makes you feel special, right? There's a reason your energies came together, and he sensed that. And he's gone on to make a difference in so many people's lives. And he happened to touch yours that day and going forward. So super cool.
It's also a reflection of your energy, Jeff.
Exactly. Right?
It reflects the talent that you have, like you were talking about earlier, about recognizing other people, who they are, but their energy as they go by you. It's like you are soul connected in that way to him. But yes. I think, again, inspiring people, how easy it is to tap in when you allow yourself to do it. And then the result that you can have on people by following that as well.
His name is Jimmy DeMere. So you look up that article. We'll link to it in our show notes. It's such a good article about him.
Literally, the last message he sent was on my birthday. "Thinking of you, Jeff, I hope you are thriving. I wrote, 'Thank you. I appreciate sending love.'" He wrote, "Remember, we were all made of stardust."
Oh, he's a special soul. So with everything we've talked about, Jeff, and your seeking journey, how has this all changed your life?
That's a deep question. I think it's changed my life in how I approach my day to day, how I approach people, how I approach the world and the work I do. It changes how I handle adversity more than anything else. I think when I'm sad or things aren't going my way or I hear of people's loss, it gives me something to go back to and really think about why it's happening. Is this a challenge that I need to overcome for a specific reason? What can I do and how do I approach it differently so I'm making it solvable, or making the problem, like, finding a solution to that friction versus fighting against it? Because I think I used to really fight against everything. And by that, it could be someone cutting in front of me at a supermarket, or not getting a table at a restaurant, or someone else getting the promotion at work, or whatever that might be. I would get really upset about things, and I would take things personally, or I would really internalize them, versus saying, "This is a lesson. What do I take from this? Is this a roadblock that's being put in my direction so I can overcome it and show someone else how to face it," or whatever that is? Yeah, for me, it's really about, and it's not easy, right? That's the other thing. When I met Eckhart Tolle, I'm like, first of all, you are the most even-keeled person. Like, understanding it's going to take, like, maybe 6 lifetimes to get where he is in regards to living in the moment and understanding what's happening. And if it's painful, feeling that pain and figuring out what that is, but there's a reason behind it and moving on and not reacting negatively towards it. And I think that's, at least for me currently, that's the biggest learning I've taken from all of this and have tried to push through to be a better person on. And also spreading the word. I think my connectivity with people. Also, I think the more people that learn about this, the better the world will be. Because how can the world not be better if people are more mindful? If people are approach it with a different perspective, that is, there's going to be conflict, there's going to be friction, but how you approach it needs to be done with love because we're all in this together, honestly.
I love you and I love that. And it's that point of we have a choice in how we react. And we also have the opportunity to look at someone else who may be honking at you or driving in a certain way or acting a certain way at a restaurant and realize they have their own thing going on. And as Eckhart Tolle calls it, it's their pain body. And if you can remember that, in those moments and catch yourself in the moment, recognizing, oh, I see you're having a bad day or something maybe is not going well in your life. I'm going to recognize that and I'm going to not take it personally and I'm going to keep on keeping on in my day. And I'm actually going to send you love because you need it more than I do. And that always comes back tenfold to you anyway. And so I'm so grateful to have a partner who can be open and understand and practice with me because this is all practice. So I have my partner at home and I have my other partner in life, Karen, who we all keep each other in check. And not every day is all smiles and balloons, but we can lift each other up because of these practices, because of these experiences. And our goal is to really inspire everyone listening right now to know what's possible and that there's all of these experiences are out there for you. So if you're at a crossroads, holler. We're here for you. Or just listen to our podcast because you'll continue to meet people. But also, we really do have these resources that we want to share with everyone.
Yeah. I will say the most important and impactful thing that Eckhart Tolle said to me was, if you want a French fry, eat a French fry and enjoy it. So I go and eat French fries as much as I can because Eckhart Tolle told me to.
He does say that. If y'all listen, the Super Soul Sunday podcast now has all of our episodes with Eckhart. And he does talk about how he goes and gets a French fry when he wants it.
I love the fact, Jeff, that you're still Indiana Jones in your own little way, following the clues, being the seeker. And I think we can all be seekers in our own way. I think that the trick is staying true to who we authentically are. And I think all of these tools that we're exploring and we continue to do that will give us the clues on how to find that.
Thank you guys. Thank you guys for doing everything you do.
We love you. Thank you for doing all the things that you do because that allows us to continue on our journey. We couldn't ask for better support, better brainstormer. We know that we're all connected on purpose. And I know we talked about this in this podcast, but we definitely have shared many lifetimes together in all different roles, which that again, it's a whole other episode. But we're excited that we were able to introduce you on this podcast because I think you offer a lot of your own wisdom. And hopefully we'll have you on more because you contribute so much. So thank you. And feel free to connect with Jeff on LinkedIn. And you can follow Karen and I at The Seeking Center on Instagram and also visit theseekingcenter.com where we are there to help you out if you're at a crossroads. Thank you.
Thank you.